Hello, today is September 25th, and today we're doing business and robots. That's it. That's the only intro. Let's go.
The first story is about a business robot.
He's not the robot.
This isn't Zuckerberg.
He's a brilliant criminal mastermind. We should all be proud of him. All Americans should be proud of him. And you know what? As a criminal mastermind, he's doing exactly the minimum that he knows he has to do to make people feel good about using his product. It's going to work, and it's a masterstroke.
Amazon's climate pledge commits to net zero carbon emissions by 2040. Wow, that seems like a long way away. And 100% renewables by 2030.
How old is he?
He's getting up there.
I think he looks like he's in his 50s, maybe.
Yeah, but that's with growth hormone and, you know.
Yeah, I don't actually know how
teenager
old he is.
Blood treatments. And
yeah.
So, is he going to make it another 20 years? Yeah, I'll see. He'll probably make it another 20 years, but he probably won't be in charge of Amazon at that time.
Yeah, probably not.
He's got kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them will take over.
The dynasty.
Yeah.
I got to wonder how hard they're being groomed at this point. Is it so hard that they're going to be damaged goods by the time they take over?
Well, you know, with the divorce, those kids might get softened up.
Those are trust fund kids. They're going to go, like, become professional skiers or something.
I always really liked the way that was depicted in the IT crowd. It's like Renholm and Renholm Jr., because that is so true to life. In so many scenarios.
You know what he should do is he should, as soon as they turn 18, they go right into a warehouse. And they have to work their way up.
They have to experience the pee bottle thing. Yeah. That would be nice.
I don't think he'll do that.
No.
He goes to his dad and he's like, "Dad, I think maybe we should give them longer breaks." And he's like, "Shut up, son."
Just smacks him. For that, you'll piss two less times tomorrow. One of the promises that he's made based on that is to move to electric vehicles because they're better for the environment. Maybe. So he's bought a bunch of electric vans.
Amazon orders 100,000 electric delivery trucks from Rivian as part of going carbon neutral by 2040. So I don't know.
Just ignore all the jets.
I don't know when they're going to take delivery of those. But yeah, that's a machine.
Oh, he said it's
we'll see him around here.
It's 2024 or something like that.
But isn't Amazon going to crowdsource most of their deliveries anyway?
Maybe those, you have to buy those vans from them, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they'll just sell you one of these. Well, begin delivering in 2020.
But see, I mean.
So in a few months.
But they're not, it's going to be like, okay, you get two and then.
So that company's in Michigan, but I think there's some Russian aspect to it. Because I saw one headline, you know, like the anti-Amazon, probably Washington Post. And it was like, Amazon partners with Russian electric car maker.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Elon Musk and somebody else's interests have aligned there. It's not good.
Oh, began actually deploying in 2021.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
soon.
But like you say, that could be 20 of the 400. Eh, you know what? They're doing something, I guess. What do you think the range of a fully loaded electric van would be?
It's probably pretty good. I mean, because you get the regenerative braking and like stop-and-go driving. Internal combustion has never been great for stop-and-go driving.
Well, they definitely will be doing that. Amazon has also decided to go into a new business, which is not really new, but a new part of that business. And I don't know how big this is. But one thing about streaming is that is compressed. There is some compression. And you can choose different. You can do like the higher bit rate on some services like Google and Spotify. But you're still getting compression. If you want the real thing, the CD quality, you need lossless. And guess what?
Amazon Music is rolling out a lossless streaming tier that Spotify and Apple cannot match. I like the subheadline there. Rip Tidal.
I don't think a lot of people use Tidal.
What's Tidal? Who's that?
It's Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
And Kanye, I think.
We reported them for getting in trouble for inflating their numbers.
I think Kanye ended up suing them, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Because his numbers were inflated.
Or no, he was saying they were downplaying his numbers.
But no, I thought it was. It's like they reported crazy high streaming numbers, but they only paid him royalties on a much lower number. So either they were inflating it or underpaying him.
So what this means is that for, what is it, $13 a month, I think, which is cheaper. Tidal is 20. But for $13 a month, you can get lossless. Now, I imagine this is a download because they said they're going to be FLAC files.
Those are pretty big.
And streaming that would be a lot of data. But what happens when you end your subscription?
I imagine it goes away. Although on the last episode, because I was like, why are streaming services terrible? A lot of people in the comments pointed out that you can actually still buy music outright without DRM from Amazon.
But that's not subscription.
No.
This is the Prime style. So there's got to be some way that they're DRMing that, that they can turn off later, which means that maybe you are streaming it somehow. I'm not sure. So they're going to call it HD music, of course, because why not? And Ultra HD, which is 10-bit and or 16-bit and 24-bit, respectively. When asked, like, hey, there's already a name for this. It's lossless. Why are you calling it HD? They're like, oh, we think our customers will recognize that more, meaning these morons don't know what lossless means.
That's the thing. If you're someone who's such an audio snob, you would know what that means, and it would matter to you. But if you're just like a regular pleb like me or Wendell, especially someone like Wendell, like, you wouldn't care about lossless. Like,
no, but here's the thing.
It's not really a selling point.
Here's the thing, Krista. There are absolutely people out there who will be like, oh, the music could sound better. Let me get it. And they're listening to Taylor Swift on their earbuds that came with their iPhone.
Yeah, and that's like, and you need all kinds of equipment and like...
But they're still going to pay it.
We already got 7 comments about how the Apple earbuds are not terrible.
Well, they're certainly not going to
take advantage of this. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, the average person who's probably, you know, going for a streaming service like this isn't... I just don't know. Like, who's the market for this?
I bought those Hi-Fi Man headphones. Oh. And they're not like, I guess they're kind of like mid-tier if you consider like the super, super good stuff. But they're probably more than most people would ever buy. I think when they were new, I paid like $350, $400 for them.
It's more than I paid, confirmed.
Yeah, and I tried FLAC versus 320 MP3. I was hard-pressed to tell the difference. I could maybe tell a little bit of the difference in how clean the cymbals were and the really high stuff. But I was really, like, taxing my hearing. I don't know that I would notice it in casual listening.
One of the guys here left that pair of Bose headphones that was mangled because they ran over them with their chair, and I managed to fix them. And I've used them, like, they just left them. And I've used them to listen to the audio on planes for like, movies and TV shows and stuff. And I'm surprised at how good they sound.
Now you're going to get some comments.
Yeah,
because they're like really
that's
terrible.
That's literal garbage.
Yeah.
Well, they were better than the earbuds that came with my Galaxy S7.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the gap between decent headphones and the headphones most people are using is just gargantuan.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's also a little bit of subjectivity in all of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like wine. Yeah.
I was not surprised enough to buy new Bose headphones for sure. I will only ever have chair mangled.
Wendell is the kind of person headphones. Who really doesn't have any like impulse control when it comes to technology.
Yeah,
and he didn't buy them, so that should tell you something about.
But I will say that like the open back expensive headphones, I'm not like sorry I bought them. They are really nice. So, yeah. Whatever makes you happy. If it makes you happy to pay $13 a month to feel good about listening to music through your crappy headphones, through your Beats, go for it. Yeah, whatever does it for you. Last week we talked about AT&T and their TV numbers, and it was not good news.
Foreshadowing.
It was actually really bad news, and we asked them ourselves, I wonder how much longer they are going to stick with this terrible TV plan, and perhaps the answer.
The Wall Street Journal has the headline, AT&T is exploring parting ways with DirecTV. $49 billion, that was the number. I had forgotten it was that large. $49 billion to buy DirecTV, and they're like, you know what, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
What do you think?
They just want to, you know, take some time for themselves on their trip to Cancun. You know, just take a break.
If they break it off, what do you think the valuation would be?
Like $5
billion? Maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, just they're going to be stuck with that debt, and it's going to be a downward spiral. Is AT&T part of your index fund? You need to jettison it, like, now.
I think that's the idea. You know, that's the bad bank. Now, I was kind of torn on which of these stories to put first, and Krista chose to put this one first. So, let's see if you agree. Which one of these should have gone first?
AT&T sued for allegedly inflating DirecTV Now subscriber numbers.
Wait, what? They've inflated the DirecTV Now subscriber numbers? This was like the streaming service where you could get it on your devices. So it's not exactly DirecTV, but it is meant for DirecTV Now subscribers. It turns out that in the call center, there's a lot of evidence of wrongdoing here. But in the call center operators were encouraging the call center employees to just make up fake names and people that were subscribing to this service.
Well, not only that, but to just flat out lie to you. So if you were signing up for AT&T service or for DirecTV, for example, they'd be like, hey, we've got this online streaming thing, and it's actually free. You want me to sign you up for that while you're getting DirecTV? And they're like, well, if it's free, yeah, I guess so. It wasn't free. And that counted toward the total numbers, even though the people tried to get a refund and cancel it. And they're like, hey, I didn't want this.
Meanwhile, the executives were telling shareholders, look at this amazing thing and the interest that people have in it.
Yeah, and as we talked about last week, even with that, the numbers were in decline, even for the streaming service. So everything was gone.
They lied, but not big enough.
That seems criminal. That seems like some people should be like going to jail for fraud.
Well, hang on there. You might be thinking that you could sue AT&T, right? Well, you might want to read your contract.
Uh-oh, AT&T says that customers cannot sue the company. Now, this isn't for the thing we just talked about. This is for the thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Remember when AT&T was selling location data to bounty hunters? AT&T has said, hey, the fine print of your contract says you're going to go into arbitration, so let's go to arbitration.
Now, here's the cool thing about arbitration. And this will empower you as a consumer like no other thing in the world. Because arbitration is so controversial and they don't want to be sued for requiring it, you can almost always opt out of it. But you have to say, I want to opt out of this. You have to refuse to sign the piece of paper. If you're buying a car and they give you an arbitration agreement, run out of that dealership, because not all dealerships do it, and the ones that do, guaranteed, if you get a lemon, you are never going to get any satisfaction on that car. And a lot of them will do it, the bad ones.
I've never had that experience with a car, but
the we'll sneak it in there on you.
Yeah, you might not, like, because you got to sign 5 million papers, right?
Yeah,
so you actually have to pay attention to what you're signing away there.
Isn't that standard? Never mind. You know, I send contracts to clients every day, and it is in fact true that no one reads them before they send them back to me. So,
well, if you own a home, even if you don't, you've probably, if you're in the U.S. at least, you've probably been to a Lowe's and or a Home Depot. It's just one of the requirements of life. They have the things that you need for your dwelling. But what if I told you that while you were there, you were being tracked the entire time?
Biometrics class actions target Lowe's and Home Depot for anti-shoplifting surveillance systems. So how cool would it be to have all these cameras and tracking things in Lowe's so they could look for serial offenders and people that are doing fishy-looking stuff with the product merchandise and having an associate show up? And yeah, I mean, it's just gone are the days where it was just, you know, simple paint huffers looking for a high in Lowe's.
But not only that, they can, like, just because your face is appearing on one camera after the next, they can map your shopping experience. They can see what you might have been. Look, he was in the power tool section. He didn't buy one, but he spent a long time there. Send him a discount for power tools. Let's get him back in here. You know, that kind of thing. I'm sure they're doing it. And maybe even selling that data to the companies who make the power tools. You know, hey, here's a possible customer. And the thing about it is, it turns out that Illinois has really, really strong laws against biometrics. We've talked about that before. And people have been testing how far they can take these laws. And this is another case of that. Although the Home Depot one was in Atlanta, I think.
Yeah.
So I guess they have the same thing.
I have done some experiments. I've noticed that retailers, like the local retailers, if you search the global website for specific products a lot, they will start to carry that product locally if you search for it a lot.
Yeah.
So, like Lowe's, for example, I actually ordered some stuff off of the Lowe's.com for local pickup, and it was just like little plastic shelving things, and then all of a sudden they carry them in the store now.
And price-based or search-based pricing. So if you search for an item a lot, Bud's Gun Shop, you will notice the price inching up, and you'll notice them get one in the local store. Well, there's only one local store, but we happen to live near it. So, yeah, a lot of that. And that's did you see the tweet someone put up about Uber where they actually charge you a different amount based on low battery on your phone?
Oh, wow.
Because...
Oh, yeah, we've reported on that before.
Because
yeah.
if your battery's low, you need to get that ride right now, right? Because yeah. you might not have time to get it later on. Terrifying. But effective, I guess, right? Last week, Apple put out their new range of products, and people are...
losing their mind.
Excited, I guess. And they have one of the new features on their camera. I think the big takeaway after all the reviews of the phone is that camera is amazing. Like, that's the big thing. And it can shoot at 120 frames per second, so you can do slow motion. And Apple is trying to create a new word based on that.
Apple is trying to trademark Slofie, as in a slow motion selfie.
It really just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Slofie.
I'm ready to activate the cyanide capsule in my large molar.
It makes me think, like saying that word makes me think sloth, like sloughing dead skin Slothies. Off your feet. Yeah, and I find it uncomfortable to say because of that.
Yeah, it's not a great word. So it turns out that, I mean, you can't trademark 120 frames per second. What they're looking to do is trademark it for apps that use that fast camera to do slow motion after the fact. They don't have that yet. They don't offer it, but I guess they will.
Trademark, no.
Sad. Slow selfie sounds better, I think.
I wonder what, like, anybody in the audience, a cultural anthropologist, you want to comment on the whole selfie thing? Like,
now, what would be a more meme-worthy word that means to slow something down? Oh, we're not allowed to say that.
That's slofie.
Oh, man, what if you, like... they trademark that and they try to use it, and then it starts to be a replacement.
I know what 4chan's next task will be.
Oh, don't give him an idea.
Well, speaking of things that might be a little bit slofy, it's competing in the streaming world. There's so many streaming services right now, but that is not going to stop NBC. They are ready with their service.
NBC Universal Streaming Service is called Peacock, and it's launching next April. It's got a ton of shows. A ton of shows. They're really... really trying and hoping that people are going to watch this. It's got The Office and a bunch of other things. Also, Psych.
30 Rock.
I like it that you like Psych. So out of all those huge shows that everybody loves.
Frasier, like, was on there.
Oh my God, look at Psych.
I was excited to see 30 Rock, but I'm not paying for this because I have my own copy of 30 Rock.
Yeah, I don't like...
obtained legally.
Very many of these shows. Now, these were shows that originally ran on NBC, right? So
yes.
Parks and Recreation, The Office.
30 Rock was on there.
Friday Night Lights, Frasier, Parenthood.
SNL, so I'm assuming all 75 years
Will and
Grace, of SNL.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's really popular. I haven't watched it, though.
I've never heard of Superstore. What's Superstore?
I don't
Top
know.
Chef. Yeah, they've got a library. They're going to use it.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians is mentioned in there, too.
That's huge. Did they mention a... oh, yeah. It's free. Ad revenue. So you'll be watching commercials on this. Now, they're not sure how exactly it's going to roll out, like how you'll access it. But it might be like with your cable subscription. I imagine they'll have a standalone, but it will be ad supported.
I'm really looking forward to the day that one of these services, it's not ad supported. It's like digital assistant supported. Like you interact with a HAL-like intelligence who is asking you questions and engaging you to build your marketing profile. And that's how you get the content.
It'll be like free-to-play games where you have to, you know, do little tasks. But each one of those tasks is building a psychological profile for the advertisers.
This is the future that we are entering right now.
Drink your verification can.
If you're a young person who's trying to get it, it's like, how can I get into programming? Start building that.
Yeah.
That'll be worth a bunch of money.
You're starting to get into programming. Just build this thing.
Start working on taking like classic moral questions from psychology and converting that into an advertising profile.
What was the experiment with the button and like the people that were suffering horribly?
Oh, yeah, it was just an authority test. I can't remember what they called it.
Yeah, it's like, which authority test person are you? It's like,
yeah. You know, instead of which Game of Thrones character, you know, just figure out how far you can push them, how far they'll be led by authority. That would be huge. Speaking of streaming, the granddaddy of them all, Netflix, is trying to stay afloat among all of these young upstarts, and losing The Office was a big deal because apparently people will just watch The Office over and over.
And I don't understand that because I had a roommate like that in college. She would just watch it over and over again.
Krista, how many times have you watched House?
That's not important right now. It's important.
Let's get a Lord of the Rings trilogy count.
Oh, that's that one I'm not even ashamed of. It's probably at least 1,000 times. I don't know.
And how many? Wait.
Since middle school.
That's... Was it like 12 hours total?
In middle school, I would come home after school, and I would have an hour to myself before mom got home, so I would start my homework and turn on Lord of the Rings. And I would get to watch like an hour every day that way, because my mom was like, I can't watch anymore. So I couldn't watch it when she was home.
But you don't understand how people could do that with The Office, right?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Well, The Office, listen, I could watch them charge across the Pelennor Fields every day.
Some people feel that way about The Office.
I can't watch Scott's Tots every day.
I would give you an analogy, but I've never seen it. So anyway, they've lost that. So how do you replace it? They think they have the answer.
Netflix lands Seinfeld. They get Seinfeld. $500 million, but they lost Friends in The Office.
I'll admit that in terms of sitcoms, Seinfeld was one that I laughed at more often than not.
I haven't seen a lot of episodes of it.
I haven't either.
But... the few episodes that I've seen, just the absurdity of it, because it seemed true to life, but at the same time, like, why is we as a species punishing ourselves this way?
Yeah, and the whole idea of, I mean, of course, a lot's been made out of this, where the show didn't have, there was no pitch. It really was a show that was just random. It was about nothing. It was just about a guy who happened to be a comedian. I don't know.
That show was a little bit before my time, because I remember I would hear that sound and it was like soon after it was time for me to go to bed.
I never watched it in the original run. It was when, because I mean, they would rerun that thing like 3-4 times a night on the local station. So you almost couldn't miss it. It was just background noise. It's what about the time that our little local station transitioned from running Andy Griffith 500 times a day. It started running The Simpsons and Seinfeld 500 times a day.
Yeah.
So, well, we talk about streaming, and for those of you who are desperately clinging to traditional television, maybe you've got DirecTV. You might, in order to defeat those ads that you have to watch on traditional television, you might have yourself a nice DVR. Perhaps... the granddaddy of the DVR, the TiVo. And you get that to skip commercials, right? Right? Isn't that what that's for?
You would think. TiVo tests running pre-roll ads before DVR recordings. And TiVo is a subscription service. So you subscribe and you get pre-roll ads? I think TiVo has forgotten how they exist.
I think they might stop existing.
Sure looks that way. That's crazy. Like, why would you do that? It's like, I want to not have to deal with ads. Why would you force me to deal with ads?
If you live in a home that has DirecTV running on TiVo, it's kind of like having a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a Triceratops right there in your house. These relics of the past that should not exist anymore. Congratulations. Comcast. Comcast, if you remember, had a bit of a struggle when Google Fiber first came to town, because in no way could Comcast compete with Google Fiber. They couldn't compete on price. They couldn't compete on technology. They're the worst company in the universe. Yada, yada, yada.
Stop me when...
Yeah, and so desperate to fight back about that, they came up with some interesting sales tactics.
Comcast promised not to raise prices, and then guess what happened next? So... Comcast has been accused of reneging on lifetime price promise in Google Fiber City. This is in Utah. And so Comcast was going door to door when Google Fiber was first rolling out here in Utah. And, you know, just going nuts. And the door to door salespeople were like, wrote in, like, this is permanent. This is a lifetime price. There's never going to be a price increase. A lot of people have paperwork to that effect. And the price increases have been from $5 to $50. It almost seems random. There doesn't seem to be a pattern here. Would not seem to be a lifetime price after all.
So it turns out that Google Fiber kind of stumbled and they couldn't finish their build out. They weren't able to cover what Comcast feared that they could cover. And once Comcast figured that out, all of a sudden those lifetime plans weren't honored anymore. These people called and complained, and they were told very flatly, we do not have a lifetime plan. You were lied to. Pay your bill.
Neat. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out in the lawsuit.
Well, like you say, some people did keep their paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is that, though? It's like, I'm going to keep 5 years old sales material from...
I mean, that you got it. If you're dealing with a door-to-door Comcast person, is there anybody less trustworthy?
But what does that say about how terrible these companies are, that it's literally gotten to the point where you're just going to keep all of your paperwork to prove something for your future self 12 years from now?
I do that with my landlord.
I just assume that everybody is awful, and so, like, they tell me things and, you know, whatever, and it's like, let's just keep all the documentation of that.
Well, worst case scenario, you know, you might not need it.
But most of the time you do.
Best case scenario, but yeah.
I guess worst case scenario is, like, that starts the house fire.
Yeah.
But that's probably not very likely.
You need to hoard it somewhere else. It is hard to know which things are going to be relevant in 5 years and which things are not. And sometimes it does take a while to find the appropriate documentation. But it usually comes out in the end.
So, here in the U.S., we have unions. I have unions everywhere in the world. It's not unique to the U.S. But we have labor unions, and almost always the sort of template for labor unions in a new kind of market that doesn't have them is the United Auto Workers. Every single American car company has a union. Oh, wait, not every single one.
Tesla was required by the National Labor Relations Board to post signs at its Fremont factory saying, hey, look, you totally can form a union. They did not do that.
Well, I think they did do it, but only after they were literally forced to do so. Because it is claimed, I don't know if we have hard evidence of this, that some of those Tesla employees were talking about unionizing, and they were pulled to the side and told, we don't do that here.
They really don't.
That's an internal combustion kind of thing. We don't do that at Tesla. But now they have to put up signs, so we'll see where that goes.
Do you want to be like one of those icky other car companies?
Do you know how bad unions are for the environment? Speaking of Tesla, we talked about last week. Was it last week we talked about the Taycan?
Oh, yeah.
So the Taycan.
Oh, yeah.
Porsche.
Porsche came out with a very fast electric car. They took it out to the racetrack, whose name I can't... Can you pronounce it?
No.
Nürburgring sounds like the closest, which sounds terrible.
It does.
Anyway, they went there, and they got a really amazing time, because electric cars are fast. Whatever else you want to say about them, they're fast. And Mr. Musk was personally insulted by that, because he always has to win, especially on Twitter. So, what did he do? He sent a special Tesla out to the same racetrack.
Oh, the lap time's not official, but Tesla's stripped-down Model S is a rocket is the sub-headline. So, yeah, it's a Model S. It's got nothing but the motors and the batteries, and it was faster than the... I guess, is a Porsche really truly stock, though? I mean...
I think both were just cages and driver's seats.
Yeah.
But Musk tweeted that his had 7 seats in it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Now, I read, so Electrek said Porsche beat them. CNET is saying it's unofficial. I read the anti-Tesla thing, because that's what I like to read. That's my confirmation bias. And they said that the reason it's not official is, one, because this is like open time and literally like all the car companies can use it right now. Hmm. So you can't get an official time. But also, the Tesla broke down.
Oh.
They were extrapolating that it did one portion so fast that if it kept that up, it would break
the battery's melted.
Well, that's a big if, isn't it? Like, geez. Listen, if I came to work and did this project, it would have been amazing.
I think...
So you can just call me a winner and give me the raise now.
I think Monday, which will have already happened, is when they have the official track time.
This is that like that time that Kirk had a tantrum and... I'm sorry, it was Sulu. Sulu had a tantrum and was like, no, we're going to... It's like, but sir, the ship's going to explode. And Sulu was like, no, it's fine. We'll fly her apart then.
You mean Kirk?
No, that was Sulu. Because Sulu was in charge of the ship at that time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, well...
The car...
So this, apart. But this is also the Plaid powertrain. All right. So the problem with electric cars is the torque. Like, they generate so much torque out of those electric motors that regular automotive engineering has never had to deal with that. And this Plaid powertrain, which I assume is a Spaceballs reference, because the internet and people like that, it's way more beefed up and it's better. So your current Teslas would not be capable of that. This is like the new Model S that's coming out.
It's like that time I built an automatic transmission out of Legos once and it twisted an axle. It's like, you know, the black plastic Lego axles. It was like twisted around its thing. And so an electric motor, a lot of torque. Yeah, they melt. They broke it.
The other interesting thing, I didn't put the story in here, but because the nearest charger was like 15 miles away and not a supercharger, they decided to just haul in a diesel generator. And it ran 24 hours a day. And the people were furious because they had to listen to this diesel generator running 24 hours a day. And it's like, a diesel generator, really? You're saving the earth with a diesel generator? And so because of that, those complaints and that criticism, they installed a supercharger at the Nürburgring.
The Nürburger.
I mean, how much work, though, is it to install a supercharger? I mean, it's just some really big jumper cables on top of the transformer.
But do you think, like, you just send Tesla a bill for that power?
Probably.
Well, speaking of Tesla, you got to talk about the business that Musk has that actually is good, and that's SpaceX.
SpaceX is trying to buy a hamlet that's inside its Texas rocket launch site because it did not anticipate SpaceX activities would disrupt life in a hamlet. I didn't really understand this until the satellite photo. So, like, there's a beach, and there's some houses, and there's SpaceX. And the houses are between SpaceX and SpaceX's launch facility and the beach. And so I imagine if you live here, it's very picturesque. It doesn't look super populated. It looks nice. Tesla has offered these people 3 times the appraised value for their homes.
Appraised by Tesla.
Well.
Or SpaceX.
So, but there, you know, some people don't want to move.
Well, they got a third party to appraise them. But here's the thing. You're forgetting, maybe you weren't here that week, but they when they did the Hopper, the Star Hopper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They made those people leave their houses because it could implode the windows into the homes because of if they had to fuel dump or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. The explosion could shatter the windows.
So you imagine, and these are old people. This is a retirement community. So you imagine that grandma's sitting there, you know, eating hard candy, and all of a sudden one of her windows implodes and glass flies into her eyes.
Or she's watching her grandbaby.
That's going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
A big one. Now, a couple of people have said they are not going to take 3 times the value. The contract said, interestingly, that's not negotiable. And you have 2 weeks to say yes or no.
It's like that time they ordered the evacuation of the Florida Keys, and there was a lot of retirees that lived there. And some of the retirees were like, you know what? We're just too old to deal with this. So we've had a good run.
Roll the dice.
But that, I think negotiating is the smart move, right?
Yeah.
Because if they're blowing out your windows, you're going to be able to sue the pants off of them.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing that so you can see the rockets going up from your back porch, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's lit, you saw them, like you mentioned the satellite map, because they consider that to be a perk of this property. You get a lifetime VIP pass to SpaceX.
Non-public events at SpaceX. It's like, all right, whatever.
You could probably get some free dinners. Old people love that.
That's true.
We had dinner with the lovely young Elon Musk the other day.
Did you know he used to play with emeralds? His father's emerald mine?
You think he always brings that up at dinner?
Yeah.
That's what I like to imagine.
He probably just like accidentally drops one on the table. It's like, oh, how did that get in there?
No, see, I like to imagine he just grew up so wealthy, he doesn't realize that's not normal.
It's like, look at my emerald D20. It's like, what?
switching to the robots, let's talk about drone delivery. It's the dream, right? We all want it. And when can we have it? Well, FedEx is saying you can have it right now if you live in Virginia.
Oh. Alphabet is partnering with FedEx and Walgreens to bring drone delivery to the U.S. Yeah, so check it out. This one is the most practical looking one so far.
So there's a rope and a winch inside this puppy. And this little container right here will just be lowered down onto you while you're waiting for it in the designated delivery zone of your home or business.
So apparently how this works is there's an app. There's an app on your phone and you can be like, hey, I can accept delivery this way. And it's like, all right. And it'll just deliver by drone.
Pretty cool. Again, it's only in one town in Virginia. What is the name of that place? I can't find it. But anyway, it's where they've already been testing drone deliveries. There's like this one town and they were like, whatever you want to do with our skies, just do it. So yeah, you'll be able to buy stuff from Walgreens. Now, immediately what came to my mind was, wait a minute, are you going to put prescription drugs in that thing? No, the answer is no, they're not. They're smart enough not to do that. But also some FedEx stuff. Did they mention a weight limit?
No, but it can't be much.
Three pounds. So, yeah. Also, it will be free delivery while they're testing, which will be really cool. Because you're going to, I mean, what do you think? It takes like 20 minutes to get that mostly?
We're finally going to be able to realize the dream of emergency toilet paper delivery while you're still on the crapper.
Well, you got to go outside, though. You have a dirty ass while you're going.
What kind of human being doesn't always stock up on toilet paper in fear?
I don't know. That's my fear.
That's why you always buy extra.
That's why toilets bothered me. It's like you got to carry a roll of toilet paper in your backpack.
Who doesn't at least have some paper towels, right?
Yeah. Like, this is bad for the sewer system, and it might cause a clog, but...
Oh, you know, it's a one-time emergency use.
Yeah, no option. No option.
Or just, you know, take it outside and bury it afterwards. You got to do what you got to do. Google wants to serve the people of India. There is a small problem with that. India doesn't necessarily have internet access everywhere.
Two small problems, but they fixed one of them.
So what do you do? If you want people to have an AI assistant, but they don't have the internet, how do you fix it? Well, Google says, hold my beer.
Google is bringing assistant to people without internet access. How are they going to do it? Phone calls. You call Google and you talk to it. It's like the Oracle at Delphi. You just call Google. It's like, got a question for Google? Google will answer your question. Do your stuff. Just do it by voice. They taught Google Hindi because only 100 million people in India know English. I think
one of the major points of the Oracle was the difficult trek of getting to it. So your analogy kind of breaks down.
Also, I don't know a whole lot about the languages there, but aren't there like a ton of different dialects in India? Does Google account for that?
I don't know. I didn't say it. It just said that Google had,
I guess, maybe
AI.
That's probably the most prominent one.
Probably enough of a commonality that you could get a basic understanding of what's going on with the assistant, right?
I wonder how good it is. Does it sound like Stephen Hawking, or does it sound like that... The assistant AI that did the hair reservation in the Google Duo demo or whatever
it was. They probably got some Indian celebrity, right? Some Bollywood person doing the voice.
It's the equivalent of AutoZone Gary. It's just a really strong hick accent.
If you
like Hindi hick.
If you're in India, I don't know how you'd be watching this if you don't have internet access in India, right? But maybe, I'm sure you could call it even if you do have internet access, right?
Yeah.
Test it out. So let us know. Let us know how that's working out for you.
I don't know if it was BS or not, but somebody emailed me and said that in Cuba, they download YouTube videos and put them on a hard drive and then pass them around still. That's still a thing because there's not a lot of bandwidth.
That's cool. You're sort of like the tastemaker for all your friends because you got the internet.
But it's terrible because you go to a party and it's like, watch this funny video that I downloaded. And like,
and they're like, that's not funny
at
all.
It's not funny. And it's like, they want to look up something else, but they can't.
It's all flat earth videos. That's all it is. But you don't have anything else to watch, so what are you going to do? We talk a lot about AI and learning, and there's sort of this gap between what people think AI can be and is and what it actually is. But what it actually is, when you really think about it, is still amazingly impressive, especially when it comes to learning. And comparing humanity and how long it took us to learn how to do things and the AI learning to do things. And if you extrapolate that out on a timeline...
The great filter is coming.
That's a little scary. This one is a great example.
AI has learned to use tools after nearly 500 million games of hide-and-seek. OpenAI's agent evolved to exhibit complex behavior, suggesting a promising approach for developing a more complex AI. And so this is really nuts. Yeah, the picture really sort of depicts what's going on here. So there were agents that were hiding and agents that were seeking. And the ones that were hiding got a head start. In the maze, there were things that you could move and things that were fixed. And so eventually, the hiders learned to, move the movable things around to hide from the seekers. And then eventually, the seekers learned to climb up on ramps. And then the hiders learned to take the ramps away. And then the seekers learned to use the ramps to get on a box and then move the box around to look for the hiders. So it's just all kinds of crazy, like, complete and utter insanity.
That's more intense than most, three-year-olds I teach.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the reason it's more intense is because once they got to the point of using the ramps to get on the blocks and then using other helpers to push the blocks around and surf on them, that was their 380 millionth game of hide and seek. Most three-year-olds don't hit that number.
Well, you don't know that. You can't say that with any certainty.
But yeah,
so, yeah, pretty incredible.
It's crazy. The box surfing thing, they didn't, like, it was 25 million to get to, like, 25 million or 30 million rounds or 40 million rounds, something in that neighborhood, to get to the point where the hiders would anticipate the actions of the seekers with regard to the ramps and deal with that. And then from there to 380 million rounds, the seekers were like, oh, we've got an idea.
And this is purely based on, they didn't teach them that they could interact with the environment. They didn't teach them that they could lock down, which is how you beat the ramp tactic. All they taught them was, if you're a hider, not being found equals happy code. If you're a seeker, finding equals happy code.
And I feel like there's a Mr. Meeseeks joke in here somewhere.
Yeah, and so they could end their existence of pain if they could do one of those two things. So they learned. Pretty cool. Krista crapped all over this house.
I didn't crap all over it. I mean, it's cool looking, but it does feel, I think it feels like a demo.
It's incredible. And it was built by robots.
I want it. A Swiss house built by robots promises to revolutionize the construction industry. This is nicer than my house.
This is nicer than everybody's house.
This is a really nice house. So you look at it and you think, it's like, nah, it doesn't really look that great from the outside.
I was gonna say, the outside, that's what I was reacting to.
But then you look at the inside.
The cool part is the building technique.
It's amazing.
That is a lot of room to do things.
Although, room for activities.
Can you imagine cleaning those windows?
No, that wouldn't be fun.
See, I make arguments like that to my husband. I'm like, we don't need that much square footage.
Mm.
And he's like, but it'd be nice to have. I'm like, we have to clean it.
Look at these sweet ceilings.
No, those aren't cool.
3D printed sand.
Yeah, that's going to be like the coolest thing.
All these nice contoured walls with all soft edges. Are these things slightly bent, or is that like a Photoshop?
They might be.
It's face-tuned.
It might be a lens aberration. That could also be a side effect from printing.
So, yeah, this house. Now, they did not say, did you catch how much this cost?
No.
Because it's got to be up there, right?
I would think, but maybe not. Since
it might just
it was
be
automated.
A demo. Like, it might not be something that's available.
No, you're absolutely right. This is, like a one-off. Let's prove that we can do this. But, yeah, so you can see.
It seemed like it was a mix of techniques. Like, they set up these robots in, the main room, I guess. And the robots were actually even putting wood stuff together, and then, the construction people would carry that off somewhere.
Now, do you think that these girders up here and this whole section, that's part of the robot, right?
Yeah, it probably unbolts and then comes down or something.
Those massive girders, I guess you could get out one of those doors one at a time.
Yeah.
Still.
Three stories? It's very impressive.
I'll take a robot house.
I mean, parts of it that's, they've got 3D printing concrete as a technique there. They've got robots doing, wood frame assembly as a technique. They've got, prefab off-site stuff to where it's like, we're going to make it work with these standard size windows. You just pop it in. So there's still going to be some manual labor involved there, but probably a dramatic reduction in manual labor.
Also, this is supposed to be better for the environment. I don't really understand how. Maybe the 3D printed stuff is offsetting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is that concrete that captures carbon.
Wow. Oh, well. I mean, I've bought my house, so I'm set here. Maybe Krista can have a robot house.
This might also be the...
Might be a little out of my price range.
Who was the guy? Was it Dyson that had the Dymaxion houses that were, made out of aluminum and crap like that? These just really, retro futuristic houses, and he's like, this is going to be the future because it's affordable housing for everybody, and it really didn't turn out that way. That might be the 3D printing house phase.
Yeah,
it turns out scaling that is actually very difficult and not inexpensive.
This might just be some guy who wants to show off his really cool house. So that's the ways that the robots are going to help us. Build our houses, play hide and seek, help us find things on the internet if we're in India. But what about the other side of that coin?
A former Google engineer warned that robots could cause accidental mass killings. I'm pretty sure that we've always said that anytime any of these stories comes up, because it's all like, think back to the story with the banana, and then they added the holographic sticker, and it was like, I don't know what this is. Imagine,
let's destroy it.
Yeah, imagine the scenario where the robot's now in charge of weapons. It's like, this looks like a school full of children, and then somebody just puts a holographic sticker in the wrong place, and it's like, that's Al Qaeda. We're gonna blow that up.
I hate it when they do these kind of headlines, because it was like, a Google engineer said this, and it's like, well, so what?
It could be anybody.
Does that make him special? But so when you read the story, it turns out this is one of the guys that was working on the military image recognition for the drones that Google got a little bit of PR flack for and canceled. And he actually, I think, walked away from that project because
of the holographic banana problem.
He started looking into it and was like, wait a second. We're definitely deciding who lives and dies here.
I want a petition to call this class of problems the holographic banana problem.
The banana sticker. I love the layout of Quantum Magazine. Unrelated.
I thought you were going to be excited about earthquakes, because you also
I do.
Love
I'm also excited about that, but I just love Quanta because it's so clean and easy to use. But anyway, continue.
Shout out to Quanta.
Yeah.
So this story is about AI predicting earthquakes, which is super useful, isn't it? Or maybe they could weaponize it.
Artificial intelligence takes on earthquake prediction. After successfully predicting laboratory earthquakes, a team of geophysicists has applied a machine learning algorithm to the quakes in the Pacific Northwest. So
the big one's coming.
When is the Yellowstone caldera happening?
That's not the one you got to be worried about. You got to be worried about the one in the...
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Could be either of them. This is actually slow earthquakes, which... what can we call slow earthquakes that would be a better name? Oh, we're not allowed to say that.
Slowfy. Slowfy quakes.
These are harder to predict because they take like a week to settle out. And they talked about the one that was in Washington. And they had this thing running and sort of looking at the seismograph, I guess. And based on that, in the laboratory, when they would, you know, like, I guess somehow in the laboratory they can simulate it, it saw it coming.
Neat.
That's good. I mean...
Do you think they'll have earthquake sirens like we have tornado sirens?
But really, realistically, how much warning time do you get? Would you have time to get everybody out? I mean, I guess you wouldn't be in the worst possible situation. You
know? There was an earthquake in California where the bad earthquake happened somewhere else, and they did get a warning in time to be like, there's
don't be
one
on
coming,
an overpass. Or
have you seen the video of it's two women and they're in a liquor store, and it's bottles of wine like way up to the ceiling, and it starts shaking and the lights go out and the wine just like rains down on them in bottles. So I can imagine if you got a 5-minute warning, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to be in the liquor store with things stacked to the ceiling.
Yeah.
I'll have a better shot at being outside during this. So could save some lives. In Japan, they, have an aging population, and the young people sometimes just don't want to leave the house. So they're looking at robots for more and more things. And this story is another example.
A robot is now delivering sermons in Japan. Is this the beginning of AI and religion? The whole time, it was... we did a story about AI giving eulogies or robots giving eulogies. I couldn't find that. I couldn't find the source of that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was... you could rent them for your funeral. Yeah, I remember that.
Also, props to whoever did this photo. I don't know if this is a stock photo or if this is legit, but like, this is what I think like a robot-fueled religion might look like.
They have a picture of it. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, they actually gave it a face. Why?
Mindar. So, it's actually, the headline's a little...
sensationalist?
Yeah.
Just a little?
Because actually what Mindar can do is repeat one whatchamacallit. I don't know what the word for it is.
Phrase?
Well, it's like a prayer or something.
Gosh, can you imagine feeding a robot only like the religious teachings of something without any kind of cultural context at all? That would offend everybody.
I mean, it's just killing babies. Yeah, but so they want to add AI to this, but for now, no matter what you do to interact with it, it will just repeat that one Buddhist mantra or whatever.
Mm.
So they think old people will like it. And they also want to do a version where when you can like tell it your problems, and then it'll just sort of give you a random affirmation from the religion. So, I don't know. It does seem like of all the things that need a human touch,
yeah,
religion might be one of them.
What a bizarre...
Yeah. And finally, when we talk about robots and AI, I think we all want, ultimately, the same thing, right? And that's giant robots that we can pilot.
Mecha pilot.
We've been promised this for at least since the 80s, probably the 70s. And when are we going to get it? That's the question.
World's largest humanoid robot is too tall to leave its warehouse. They have to take the head off. But that's only because they put it in a cockpit, which I think was it's a lot of fun.
An inspired idea.
But I'd rather have it be remote controlled.
So there's a scale photo. He's pretty big. Got to admit. And they build him in this warehouse, and this is a terrible picture because they cut off, I guess that's the top of the gate.
Yeah.
And so as you can see, he can't get out. But the reason is because the creator said, we must have a cockpit no matter the cost. And sure enough,
there he is.
There he is, looking out, piloting his creation. Looking so happy.
It would be nice to be so wealthy that you could work on such projects without really worrying about it.
I swear this looks like the cockpit from one of those puppet... Like, remember the Fabulous Thunderbirds?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like that?
Yeah, it really
does. It looks so crappy.
Listen, you don't need a lot of distractions when you're piloting a 20-foot tall mech.
Compare that to, like, you know, an airliner and the number of controls. But this is supposed to be the most advanced robot in the world. So. I don't think it walks. I think it just rolls on wheels. But it does have... some articulation there in the middle. It might walk, actually.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, if two pregnant women get in a fight, isn't that just babies having a mecha battle? it's kind of a weird way of thinking about it.
What do you think that gun does?
Nothing.
Think it's functional?
No.
It shoots ping pong balls.
That's a whole different...
That'd be a giant ping pong ball. Maybe it's a shotgun type.
Just scatter.
It shoots fireworks. It's like, the festival. All right, that's it. We'll see you Friday. We got lots of nonsense.
And social media.